Because they don't give invitations. Let me ask you a question. Do you invite sinners? Do you give invitations personally? If it's the right thing to do in a church to invite sinners to come to Christ, what about you in your own personal life? Are you inviting sinners to come to Christ? That ye should go and bring forth fruit. Folks, that fruit is Christ-likeness, and that Christ-likeness means that I am going to do what Christ would do. I am going to think the way He does. I am going to act the way He does. And all throughout the Gospels, what do you see Him doing? You see Him confronting sinners. What kind of fruit is this? This is fruit that does not perish. It says here in verse 16 that your fruit should remain. That is the same word translated abide in verse 4, again in verse 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 and 10. It's the same word. That your fruit might abide, or literally continue. Fulfilling the purpose of Jesus Christ who chose me results in fruit that continues. Man-made fruit eventually disappears. But true fruit continues. It's not a mere spurt. When I lived on the farm, we used to have, I was telling somebody the other day, we had 12 horses at one time. And my brothers and I would just, on a whim some days, we'd just go out, this is in the summertime obviously, we'd go down to the barn, go into the corral, catch the horses, and just start riding. We had quarter horses, we had an Arabian, we had POA, Pony of America, we had Welsh ponies, Shetland ponies. We also had, for a little while, a thoroughbred. And so my brothers and I would walk down the dirt road, walk the horses down the road, and we'd get to the bridge, which was exactly a quarter of a mile away from our home. And our quarter horse, our favorite one, High Boy, he knew that as soon as you turned him to head back home, you didn't have to kick him. He would just take off at a fast gallop. We loved doing this. We got on the thoroughbred one day and we said, hey, let's see how the thoroughbred does against the quarter horse. We went down the road, got to the bridge, and turned around. High Boy was ready to go, but we stayed for a moment. And when the thoroughbred saw that High Boy was jumping ready to go, she got excited. And all of a sudden we said, go. Who won in a quarter? Come on, which horse run in a quarter mile? The quarter horse did. But you know what was happening? We went past the driveway, which is a quarter mile. And that thoroughbred now had the momentum. And her legs were stretched out. And she went right past that quarter horse. And I learned something that day. You know what? There's some endurance in that horse. It's not just this spurt where everybody's impressed with the quickness of this horse. This is the horse that has some endurance. That's what we are to be, folks. Not just this spurt where one week, okay, I'm winning souls or I'm bearing the fruit of Christ, and the next week I'm not. It's that endurance. It's that continuing fruit is everlasting fruit. How can we produce fruit like that? Well, what's the theme of this passage? I must abide in Christ. It's not this idea that I think I'm going to go out and go soul winning this week. I really need to start winning souls. No, I need to be abiding in Christ. I need to be walking in the Spirit. And when your relationship with Christ is what it ought to be, when there is that communion and that relationship with Him that ought to be there, winning souls will be natural because you are abiding in Him. Continuing fruit, the fruit of these apostles to whom Jesus said these words, continues even to this day. In fact, you have some of it right here. So life has a purpose. For those who have been chosen, are you saved this morning? Do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? Then He says to you, You have not chosen me. I have chosen you. There's your privilege. But you've also got a purpose. That ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Now that's a daunting task, but he does not leave us alone in this work. Let's look at the last part of this verse. Here's the third point. We have our privilege, we have our purpose, but now we have our provision. We have not only been selected, we have not only been set apart, we've been supplied. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. You go back to verse 7, and we were talking about prayer back there. Jesus was saying, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Just like in verse 7, prayer is not some masterful arrangement of words that you say to God with Jesus' name attached in order to get what you want. He who abides in Christ will ask in keeping with the previous verses. And your prayers will be answered according to what will make you fruitful. To accomplish your purpose, he reminds us to ask of the Father in my name on the basis of Christ's merits. And he will supply everything that I need to accomplish his purpose. To bear fruit that continues. Do you need courage to accomplish his purpose? Do you need that courage? Ask in the name of Jesus, and it will be given to you. What do you need in order to accomplish his purpose in your life? Ask. And if it's for accomplishing his purpose, it will be given to you. You say, well, I don't have good health. I need to ask for good health. Well, let me ask you something. When you do have the good health, are you accomplishing his purpose? Or is your asking for good health simply feigning to want good health in order to accomplish his purpose? Lord, I thank you for choosing me. What a privilege it is to be called your disciple. What a privilege it is to be called your friend. And Lord, I thank you also for choosing me and giving me a purpose in life by placing me where I am. May I every day be going and bearing fruit that will continue into eternity. Thank you for providing everything that I need to accomplish your purpose. Verse 17 says, these things I command you, that ye love one another. What we read in verse 12, we read again here. See, folks, Jesus chose you. Therefore, the reason you are to love other believers is because he chose them too. Your love for other believers is an extension of Christ's love for you. The evidence that you are a believer is not what you once did or a prayer that you once prayed or something that you used to do. The evidence of you being a believer is what you are continuing to do. Your relationship with God is not so much based upon the past as it is the present. Continuance is the test of reality. Is there fruit in your life? Abide in me, and I in you. I'm the branch. I'm the vine. You are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. So, ask. If it's to accomplish my purpose in your life, ask. Love one another. Father, we thank you for your word. And again, we thank you for choosing us. Lord, maybe there's someone here this morning who thinks of this and says, well, I'm not chosen. Lord, I pray that we would not abuse this doctrine. I pray that they would see that the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we can't necessarily put these two together and figure them out. How you can elect us and yet how we can choose. Lord, you have called sinners to come to Christ.